Hey, what's up? Hello. Welcome to Sounds Fake But Okay, a podcast where an arrow ace girl. I'm Sarah. That's me. I almost forgot. Woo. Keep
Are
going.
You sure?
Keep going. Keep going.
Oh, and a bi demisexual girl. That's me, Kayla. I'm sure of
it. Talk about all things to do with love, relationships, sexuality, and pretty much anything else we just don't understand.
On today's episode, straight couples hate each other?
Sounds fake, but okay. Welcome back to the podcast.
Wasn't that a perfect intro?
Perfect intro.
It's only been, like, what, 10 years or something?
Yeah.
Wait, is our book a year old yet, or is that...
Almost.
When Give did it, it come a out? The 20... Was it the 23rd?
20-something.
Okay. Well, almost.
My sister's been married for a year.
I saw that, and I was like, I was there.
I was also there.
Yep.
And I was even in the photo that she posted for her anniversary, and then she didn't tag me in the photo that she posted for her anniversary. And I was like,
bitch.
Why would you not tag me, your sister, in this Instagram photo about
your anniversary.
Your wife, where I'm just like on the side of the picture?
It feels hateful and pointed.
Yeah, it was a hate crime, but I'll get
over it. Yeah, for sure.
How are you?
I'm so good. I'm being very brave about what I'm not doing right now, and then instead recording. I'll discuss this in the juice section, but just know,
stay tuned.
Y'all are lucky to have me.
So true.
You're back in your home.
I am in my home. It's not done, but it's livable.
Good.
It's really all we can ask for.
I guess.
Do we have any housekeeping other than like my literal fact that my house I'm now keeping
needs to be kept? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Then shall we begin?
I guess. Let's get into it.
Kayla, what are we talking about
this week?
No, I'm hold on. Let me finish my NPR voice.
Sorry. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Kayla, what are we talking about this week? I want you to know that I don't even really listen to NPR at all, and so that was really more, no shade to NPR, they're great, but that was really more of an imitation of that girl on TikTok who does the NPR intros and outros of songs in the future, where she describes.
Yes.
Current songs, like we describe songs from like the 1600s in her NPR voice. So that was me actually imitating that
An
person.
Imitation. This is very loosely related to what you just said, but we recently watched all of the new Star Trek movies in our home. I had seen them and I love them, but Dean had not, which was terrible for our relationship. Anyway, we were watching them, and I think it's in the third movie they play, what's the song? It's the song they play in the first movie, too. It's like, can't stand it, I want to find it. Sabotage. Maybe that's what it's called. That's the word they say.
Sure.
Anyway, they play that. It's a very big moment in the third movie. And Spock is like, are they playing classical music? And I was like, ha, ha, ha. Because to us, it's rock music. But to you, it's the future, and it's classical music. Tee-hee-hee.
Tee-hee-hee.
Anyway. What were we talking? Oh, NPR. Our NPR intro.
What are we talking about this week?
This week, we are discussing, this week we're discussing, I was trying to think of, like, something vaguely Valentine's Day themed, because this is going to come out the week before, or, like, the Sunday before Valentine's Day.
As I learned, Valentine's Day, Ash Wednesday. My Valentine is Jesus.
And I learned that February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day, is Mistress Day, because apparently hospitality workers on the inside know that that's the day people take their mistresses out. So keep an eye out if you're out about that day.
I mean, that's really just putting the gal in Galentine's Day, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Just get a little side gal.
Sure. Anyway, so I was trying to think of things for Valentine's Day, and it reminded me of a trend I've seen recently on TikTok like starting at the beginning of February, I feel like, where girls have been like, oh, my boyfriend hasn't asked me to be his Valentine's Day yet. Like, one boyfriend for sale. And then like,
my boyfriend hasn't asked me to be his Valentine's Day yet.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Well, it's true. They hadn't asked them to be their Valentine for Valentine's Day yet. And so then they were like, one boyfriend for sale, $15, like comes with glasses and like tech job or whatever, you know, his like specs for his Facebook marketplace thing. And then I saw who I presume was a queer person that was like, oh, 2024 just started and the straight women are already like hating their boyfriends and trying to sell them. Like, what are the straights doing?
Trying to traffic them.
Really? Yeah. But it just made me think about just like the general trend, especially among straight, presumably allo couples, of just like they joke about hating each other all the time. It's always the straights. Which, like, and then I found like a Reddit thread about it that we can get into because people are kind of like theorizing about why that happens. But I can't say that I never like joke about hating Dean. Like, I definitely have tried to give him away several times when he like does something really annoying.
I've tried to give you away.
Right. So, like, I think there's, like, an amount that's, like, a playful, just, like, Dean will be, like, putting his nasty feet on me, and I'll turn to my roommates and be like, who want a boyfriend? I have one I'm giving away.
Well, and he's also, like, in on it because you're doing it in front of him. Like,
right.
But I feel like these situations are, like, just going on the internet being like, my boyfriend has not yet asked me to be his Valentine, and instead of saying, hey, I really wish that you would ask me to be your Valentine. I think it's cute and I would like it. They try and sell you, traffic you on the internet.
Fair. No, I think there's definitely an amount of it that's just like a funny joke of just like, I mean, I do that about my cats all the time. When the cats are being bad, I will literally ask anyone, like, are you interested in a free cat? I fucking hate this cat right now. But there is something different about just like, I feel like the general jokes that go around just like in culture of like, oh, the old ball and chain, or like, oh, gotta stay at home with the wife tonight, or like, oh, she's nagging me or whatever. You know, like that whole kind of just like culture around like being, or even like the, oh, it's the last night of freedom, like the bachelor kind of thing. I feel like it all is kind of like lumped into the same category of just like your partner being this like awful burden.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like it's traditionally it's aimed at the woman in the hetero relationship, right? Like the ball and chain, the, you know, like, oh, she's holding me down, I can't fuck other women because I can't go out with the boys tonight. I got a fucking wife who stays home and takes care of the kids all fucking day long. Also, she has six jobs.
Yeah, sure.
And she cleans the entire house every day. I hate her. You have that. But I also feel like the more like modern thing of like trafficking your boyfriend on the internet.
Yes.
And like being like, oh, haha, boyfriend for sale. Like, it's seen as this like feminist reclamation.
Sure.
Of like, oh, we can hate our partners too.
for sure.
And I know like that's not necessarily the intention, but there is kind of like that undercurrent of like, we're solving the patriarchy by hating our husbands as much as they hate us.
They hate us. No, I definitely think like it's definitely a different vibe. I think a lot of times on the men's part, it's like a just like, yeah, the nagging thing, that like the woman being in the role of the mother or whatever, or just like them holding you back from like having fun with the boys or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for women towards men, it's often that the man is just like stupid, I feel like it's always just kind of like making fun of the man for being an idiot, or just being like, oh yeah, I have to like do all this shit for him, like he doesn't know what's going on, which like I get, like I get that men are like stupid, but it's also like you know,
if you're like going onto the internet and talking to people and complaining to people about how dumb your partner is, like if you were that partner and you found out that your partner was talking shit about you on the internet saying you were dumb, you probably wouldn't like feel great.
Yeah. Well, or just like the, I feel like I always see the trend of like women complaining about their boyfriends that, like, game a lot or just, like, oh, he's, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, that whole thing, which, like, on one hand, I understand. I definitely know people that have dated people that are like, oh, I can never hang out with you. I gotta play COD or whatever.
Or, like, but or like those guys who are like, you know, make me food. I can't get up from this game. Like, yeah. And that's, like, every day. That's what's happening.
Right. Yeah. But I think there's certain times when it's, like, diminishing the guy's, like, interests of, like, oh, he's just, like, doing his gamers. Or, like, I shove his Legos into, like, this corner, you know,
that's
whatever.
So mean.
I know. But, so yeah, I think I feel like there's definitely a different, like, vibe to each thing. I don't know.
I feel like a lot of times with women, it's when it's not the situation of, like, oh, he doesn't romance me as much as I would like, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's either that or it's he's stupid. Or
yes.
The third gender is, as you're kind of saying, like, he has hobbies. And he likes to do his hobbies, but I hate his hobbies. And, like, yeah. Unless his hobbies are, like, harmful.
Yeah.
Like, that's not any different from men who, like, shit on Taylor Swift when they know their girlfriends really like Taylor Swift. Or, like,
yeah.
Or, like, you know, there are constructive ways to critique Miss Carbon Emissions.
For sure.
I do love and appreciate her too, but she is Miss Carbon Emissions.
She is.
And she is a little bit Miss White Feminism, but, like, there are ways to, like, productively critique that and talk about that without being like, oh, I fucking hate this bitch. Her music's the worst. Like, there's a way to say, like, yeah, it's wild that, you know, she's won so many Grammys and Beyonce has never won album of the year. Like, like,
no,
that's,
I think it
was wild.
There's definitely a difference too of, like, I think, like, complaining about, like, men or women en masse liking something of, like, oh, man, men in general, all they think about is football, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, sure, en masse, it can be kind of like a joke or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if that is your partner's thing, it's like, let's, like, that's your person. Like, let's, you know.
Yeah, at least know enough about it and pretend to show a little bit of interest just because you know they will appreciate it. Like, that's
sure.
Like, you don't have to become an expert on whatever, but you just fucking listen to them when they're talking about shit. Like, what?
Yeah. That's what I do. Dean is obsessed with football and I don't really get it or like it, but I know all about it,
you know,
because he tells me about it. But he's also very smart because he knows I just care about the drama. So he will like, to get me engaged, he will be like, here's the latest sports drama. Here's and that I actually care about. So he's very smart about it. He knows what he has to say to get me to care about his hobby. But I wanted to read some of the people of Reddit's, like, their theories about what the vibe is. So the person who asked the question in, of course, r/ are the straights okay? Because, you know.
No, they're not.
They're not. So this person said, why is spouse hating so popular for straight people? They said, I kind of wanted to get serious here for a second. I'm a straight cis man who is a bit uninformed about some things. Okay, interesting. I didn't realize this was a straight person. A straight cis man who's a bit uninformed about some things pertaining to gender and sexuality, as in I'm not very well versed in the topic, but still have some knowledge of it. But I try to stay supportive of them. Please correct me if I sound a bit stupid. It kind of bugs me how accepted spouse-hating jokes are for straight couples, but not very many for LGBTQ+ couples, at least from my perspective. I myself am a person who gets curious, asks questions, and ponder my own theories. I came up with a theory about why this might be. I feel as though a huge portion of straight people take for granted what they have. They never really had to fight for any some... they never really had to for... Oh my god.
Kayla's fighting for her life right now. She doesn't have to fight for shit, but Kayla's fighting for her life.
They never really had to fight any sort of bigotry against them, nor protest for their right to be together. Because of this, several straight people don't really take something like marriage seriously. To mirror this, they don't take their spouses seriously, but instead for granted. Let me know if this makes sense, what your theories are, blah, blah, blah.
Honestly, I like that this is, wow. I like that this is coming from a straight cis man. Because
I only skimmed, like, people's answers to this. I didn't realize that the person asking
It's showing a lot of self-awareness, and also the fact that, like, it's not inherent to hetero people and hetero couples to do this. Like, it's something that's, like, learned and enforced and socialized.
Right. And it's like, as this person said, he's like, I'm very curious. I like to ask questions. So it's clear that it, like, yes, maybe it takes some insight and some looking at the broader culture to notice that that happens and that it's not maybe the best. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of his theory, though?
I think it's fair. I think also just because people, straight people, feel like marriage is a given, which goes hand in hand with the, yeah, like, taking it for granted sort of thing, where, like, they feel like it's a given. And there are absolutely still marriages now that are, like, for convenience or for political reasons, yeah, or, like, you don't actually love each other. Maybe you, it's a shotgun wedding situation, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. But as we drive into the future.
yes, quite.
Like, it's becoming less and less necessary for people en masse,
en masse.
It just sounded weird for me to say on and then math.
Sure.
Anyway, it's become less necessary for people en masse. To get themselves into marriages where they, like,
yeah,
hate each other.
Sure.
And so it's just so interesting to me that, like, I don't know if people are taking that from, like, previous generations and just, like, being like, well, this is what I have to settle for.
Yeah. Or because if that's, like, what's
women
modeled.
Have always had to settle for this, or yeah, if that's, sure, what's modeled. Yeah.
Yeah, if that's what your parents and grandparents' relationship is like, and that's what you grow up with. Or, like, mm-hmm, I even see on TV, I mean, if you think about, like, Everybody Loves Raymond. Like, I watched, mm-hmm, that show growing up a lot because it was just on the cable. We didn't have whatever it's called when you don't have cable.
Yeah.
And, like, that's very much so a relationship where the husband is this, like, super dopey, just kind of, like, idiot. And the wife is, like, very high-strung, very naggy, whatever. And they, like, don't really seem to like each other.
Yeah.
At all. And it's just kind of, like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. So silly. Butt of the joke. Yeah.
I also wonder if there's more pressure for queer couples who do get married, especially, to put on, like, a face of perfection, kind of like we were talking about with polyamorous couples in our compersion episode.
And about, it was in Raina's book.
Yes.
Because there is a part in Raina's book, which is now out. You should know.
Ooh,
no, it's not. It's coming out on Wednesday. It's,
well, so, oh, yeah, it's not. Okay, yeah, yeah, right, you're right.
Depending on,
still
depending on
it.
When in the week
you're, when you're listening. Yeah.
But there is a section where they were talking about a lesbian couple who, like, went through a lot to get married. Like, they were, like, one of, yeah, the first marriages in their state. And then sometime later, they decided they wanted to get divorced. And not only was it, like, kind of taboo, because it's like, well, yeah, you like, you just got this right and now you want to get divorced.
Yeah.
But, like, they had to go to a neighboring state to get married. And
right,
they didn't live there. And so, yeah, they actually couldn't get divorced.
Yeah.
Because of some, like, red tape, like, hoop they had to jump through.
Yeah.
Because they didn't live in the state. So they couldn't get divorced.
Yeah.
But, like, there was also just this thing of, like, you don't want to telegraph this idea that, like, oh, well, like, we just got the right to get married and we're going to,
yeah,
abuse it. We're going to, you know, like.
Right.
Which is wild because straight people
get
fucking do that all the time. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking when gay marriage was legalized, I remember thinking to myself, like, I hope, like, obviously people are going to get divorced. You know, it just happens. But I was like, I hope that people don't pick up on that and make it a big thing when gay couples start getting divorced, because I could totally see people taking that and being like, oh, mm-hmm, see, like, they're not good at being married.
I could be making this up, but I believe that the divorce rates are lower for gay couples.
That sounds correct, but
I mean, they obviously still get divorced. My sister has, I guess my sister-in-law has a friend who's now also my sister's friend who has four moms.
Slay? I love that. So Anyway, all that to say is I do wonder if part of it is queer people being more careful about like how they talk about their relationships, especially online with these types of trends and everything, to be like, I don't want to be projecting that type of image, especially when it seems like so many queer people are aware of spouse hating in the straight world. Like, I've heard so many queer people talk about this and like question it. So,
yeah.
But some of your, what you were saying about like seeing it from past generations and stuff, a couple of people who were answering on Reddit did say similar things. So one person was saying, I believe there is a historical bias considering that no fault divorce, legally separated without needing to prove to the court that your spouse is abusive or unfaithful, has only been legal for about 50 years, which is about two decades after birth for most boomers. This paired with strong negative bias against divorce until very recently means a lot of straight people who married right out of high school were trapped in unsatisfying or unhappy relationships or gender roles with no acceptable way of channeling that frustration except to turn to very common struggle into a joke. And since gay marriage wasn't legal, there was no history of that forced cohabitation in those types of marriages, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I do too. I like this one that also says, I think it's related to gender stereotypes. For obvious reasons, same-sex relationships are much more egalitarian since both people were socialized more or less the same way. I just, like, that I think is the number one fundamental difference in straight versus same-sex relationships. Because regardless of how open the and, like, accepting the society is where you grew up, if you are a same-sex couple, those gender stereotypes and expectations and roles don't exist.
Yeah.
They do, but they don't apply to your relationship.
Right.
So any straight relationship, you know, it's coming in with this, you know, the woman should be subservient. She should cook. She should clean. And even if you and your partner are actively working against that, that's an active choice you have to make. And people will continue to try and enforce it onto you.
Yes.
And so the fact that same-sex couples don't have to do that or...
Well, it's... There's obviously unique struggles there of other norms that they're breaking. But it's almost like by being in the same-sex relationship in the first place, you just break all of those norms.
Mm-hmm.
And that breaking obviously is very difficult. You come up against a lot of people with that. But there's not those like... It's not the same type of challenges of people like trying to push you into that like very specific cookie cutter because you've already kind of like taken yourself out of it.
And those things that are like assumed or implied with hetero relationships, like who's going to take the garbage out? Who's going to clean the bathroom? Like those are things that you have to discuss with your partner because it's like, oh, so if you're two gay women, what, you're both going to do it? Like it's two gay men. Oh, it's gonna be disgusting. Like
Like there's no gender roles to fall back on. I think maybe part of the issue too is I think for straight couples, because there are so many norms and structures and like scripts around it, it's kind of easy to fall into those things without communicating, which is obviously where a lot of the problems come from.
Yeah.
But it can be easy to just kind of like let society make those decisions for you, like, oh, I'm the woman, I'm gonna cook, and like he's the man, he's gonna do, you know, the fixing of the, you know, pipes or whatever people do, and so that's I think also where problems and like the spouse hating can come up, is that if you just kind of like lie dormant and allow those things to slide, if really inside you would rather them be different, then but if you're in a, like you said, in a queer or same-sex relationship, you can't really fall back on those decisions.
And that's not to say that, because like as I was talking about like same-sex relationships, I was thinking about like lesbian relationships where one of them is really butch and one of them is really femme. Like the outside world will still enforce hetero stereotypes onto you, but I'm more so thinking of like just the example of like my sister and her wife, who are like not wildly different in terms of their presentation.
Yeah.
And so people look at them and they're like, oh, like they don't have an assumption of like,
right.
who does what or whatever.
Yeah. I think, yeah, there's obviously, like, annoying people always still asking the question, like, well, who's the man or whatever? Yeah.
Who wears the pants?
Who wears the pants? Sure. But for same-sex relationships, there's, like, just a less obvious answer to that question, if there is an answer at all. Whereas for straight relationships, they're like, is something you could fall back on if you are pressured enough.
And the same commenter just says, like, meanwhile, straight people are more conforming in general. For thousands of years, straight relationships were seen as suffering because of very strict gender roles and totally different socialization. The idea that men and women are total opposites covers whole society. And also sexism, because traditional religions often teach us that sex is dirty, women are dirty and vicious, and men and women can never understand each other. As a result, we have a wall of overprotection, insecurities, and stereotypes between men and women. And that just kind of festers and it comes out in the way that we hate our spouses?
I also think, and I think this might have been discussed in Raina's book too, of just like the way marriage has changed over so many years, that it used to be a very transactional thing. It was very political. It was all about money, about joining families. It like was not about love at all. And that, like, post-industrialization changed a lot. But the way that marriages are structured has not changed. Like, the benefits you get from marriage, the merging of, like, finances, the tax things, the, like, land things, all of that has stayed the same, even though the reasons people get married is different.
Yeah.
And so I also wonder if there's something very constraining about that, about the pressure to get married for love. While also knowing the practicalities and the benefits that come with getting married.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, back in the day, hating your husband was probably like a lot more common because you did not get married to like your husband, but also
you got married for financial security and he got married so that he could fuck someone and also so that he can have someone to like take care of the house.
Sure.
Stereotypically.
Right. So, like, back then, I feel like everyone, like, most people were probably hating their husbands, but it was also, like, everyone did. So it's, like,
you're not special.
You're probably not, like, talking about it that much. And if you are, it's, like, in a very, like, DL.
It's in a casual, like, oh, like, you know, my fucking husband did.
Right.
But it's, like, between women. It's in, it's in,
like, the confidence spaces. Of, right.
Yeah. But the internet is for everyone.
Right. And so I think, like, right, now it's just different because now you're supposed to be married to someone you love. And so complaining about them in such a public way, A, just, like, looks worse.
Yeah.
And B, just, like, doesn't match, like, what else is going on just, like, culturally.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know.
Mm. This comment brings up another reason that men seem to hate their wives. Which
sure.
is... My husband and I have always thought that this was the dumbest thing ever. He used to work for these two men who were typical manly men, bankrolling their wives' crazy spending. And so, of course, they were constantly going off about how much they hated them and couldn't stand them.
Mm.
And there's, like, this whole thing of, like, women just ask for men to give them money and take care of them and whatever. And then they're, you know, men have to, and it's so expensive. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well, yeah, because that also goes back to, like, a time when women weren't working.
They couldn't have fucking credit cards. They couldn't, like...
The 70s, brother!
I know.
Women were only allowed to open their own credit card in the 70s.
Truly wild.
That's the stupidest shit.
You know who was alive in the 70s? My parents.
Yeah, literally. Like, your grandma.
Uh-huh.
All of our grandmas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if my grandma does have her own credit card. Well, one of my grandmas must because her husband is dead. So, I don't know about the other one, though. I don't know what she's doing.
Yeah, like, I'm just, like, the first credit card that my grandma's got, they would have, my grandpas would have had to sign on to it. That's unhinged.
Yeah. It's fucked.
I hate it.
I also think this, like, it's just going back to, I feel like, everything we've said. But I think so much of it also comes down to allo and amatonormativity and just the pressure to get married once you are getting to a certain age. Like, yep. I have definitely heard stories of people that I know personally who just, like, were getting, like, I don't quote unquote older, like getting into their like late 20s or 30s or whatever, mm-hmm. and started dating a person that they like weren't didn't really like, but like yeah. everyone around them was getting married, and so they got married, and it was just like an unhappy situation.
Especially women who like want to have biological children. It's like, oh, your right. biological clock is ticking, like you're running out yeah. of time. And it's like, I understand that to some extent, but then it's like, well, okay, where are you going to be in 10 years? You're going to have young yeah. kids and you're
and then going to get divorced.
Like,
yeah. yeah. Which, like, it always makes me wonder if there was not such a strong pressure on people to get married, would the divorce rates be so high? Like,
yeah. I don't think so. I think people would get married because they wanted to, not because
right.
they felt like it was the logical next step.
Right.
Escalator.
T. In America, at least, I know, like, conservative politicians have been pushing a lot lately for, like, how do we fix the divorce rate? How do we get people married more? Like, the marriage rates are dropping among younger people. People are having less kids. Like, what do we do about it?
People who's are leaving work in our their factories? Abusive spouses.
Right. Like,
how are they going to procreate so we can have children do right. labor?
Who's right. Whose children are going to work in our factories?
Exactly.
But it's like
the immigrants.
Okay.
But they hate the immigrants.
It's getting dark. But it's like, if your concern really is with the population of America dwindling, which is clearly their worry for capitalism and
that's
such.
That's just capitalism. That is right. No, that yeah. equals worried about capitalism.
Right, 100%. But it's like, if y'all would just like fucking chill and let people do shit on their own, then the divorce rates would probably go down by themselves.
Yeah. Or like this person says, in my experience, people who make hate my spouse jokes are in relationships with shitty people or else are shitty people themselves or else were raised by shitty people and taught that relationships kind of suck by default. Why yeah. do they stay in these relationships? Because they think it sucks too much to be alone, so they settle for severe dysfunction. When you're gay, it's a lot more difficult to program your brain to view the world of romantic relationships a certain way. You also spend much more time single because it's harder to initiate a relationship. This means that you get to grow more as a person and understand that it's okay for things not to work out in a relationship and go back to being single. This means both parties in a gay relationship have better boundaries and are more willing to focus on improving their relationship without feeling threatened because que sera, sera.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it goes hand in hand with the aloe normativity and all that sort of stuff where it's like the non-aspec queers are like kind of like bridging the gap between these two yeah. things of like they're forced to be a little bit more self-aware but not quite as self-aware as the yeah. aspecs are.
Yeah.
And like that just, I mean, that makes sense based off of whatever life experiences you would have.
Right. And I think it goes back to the first point that was made about like gay marriage not being a given until very recently is that especially queer people that are like our age and older, like marriage was not something to like have as a backup plan until like recently. Like for straight mm-hmm. people, it's always been a like, well, shit, if everything goes bad, I guess I'll just marry whoever and it'll yeah, be fine. But like gay people, right. Like gay people didn't even have that to fall back on of like yeah,
it's like maybe I'll get a beard like
right so it's like this person is saying like you had to be okay with the fact that you might just not be married ever mm-hmm. because it wasn't legal. Like yes, you could have a domestic partner, you could have a longtime partner, but the perks that come with marriage, all of the stability that might force someone into getting married when they don't really want to, like that just like wasn't
even just like living together. You might not be able to live right. together. You will not be able to have the hallmarks of like a traditional straight marriage.
Yeah. Right.
In conclusion,
uh-huh.
if you hate your partner, maybe think about why.
And I also don't think like obviously hating your partner sometimes is normal. Like hating
yeah, like being annoyed or like hating that right. they do a specific thing or like being mad at them. Like that's fine. Yeah. That's normal.
And also like it's not like complaining about your partner it's a bad thing either. Like, if your partner does something annoying, you need to, like, vent to your friends about it or whatever.
But do it to your friends. Don't try and traffic them on TikTok.
Sure.
Like, I'm going to register with the TikTok shop to sell Josh.
Not Josh. No, there's a difference between healthily venting about things happening in a relationship and feeding into the stereotype of, like, I hate my wife or husband or whatever.
And I think because, like, the internet is for everyone and the internet is forever. And so it's like a lot of these conversations that maybe were happening privately are now happening publicly. And it's A, creating a permission structure and encouraging other people to also have these same kinds of conversations. But it's also, it's being stripped of the context and the nuance of if you're talking to a friend, they know details about your relationship and your partner and why you're saying what you're saying. And they know so much more about what led up to this point.
Yeah.
But if you're just like, I'm trafficking Josh, here, click on my link in the TikTok shop. Like, all of that context and nuance is stripped away and people are just
you're joking?
And so I think it's partially just like an effect of the internet being what the internet is.
Yeah. I think it just, like, it normalizes it, too. Yeah. Like, we were talking about if that's what your parents or your grandparents model, but then you think about if you're on the internet and that's what other relationships are modeling, and say you actually are very unhappy in your relationship, but you see all these other people posting about my stupid-ass boyfriend, then you're like, oh, I guess this is just how relationships are supposed to be. I guess I'm supposed to just, like, kind of be unhappy all the time.
Yeah.
And then you don't realize that maybe it could be better.
Social media is an echo chamber. And especially with places like TikTok, where the algorithm be algorithming, you know, you're going to get fed stuff that you relate to, because they're going to be like, oh, you're engaging with this. And so then you're going to see it more, and then it's going to be more and more normalized because then you're seeing it more. And then, like, the reason why, like, this discussion started in this instance was because it got out of that bubble.
Right.
And then other people started talking about it. Then, you know, you get more perspectives in on it and you're like, wait, what the fuck? Shit. Hello. Yeah. But, you know, when you're in that bubble, when you're in that echo chamber, you don't see anything necessarily wrong with it.
Yeah. T.
All right. Kayla?
That's it.
What's our poll for this week?
Do you hate your partner? That's it. Happy Valentine's Day. Do you hate your partner?
If you could traffic your partner on the TikTok shop.
Not putting that on our social media.
What? It's almost as if when we put it on social media, it'll be stripped of all context and nuance.
That's crazy. What?
Whoa.
What do you mean?
Anyway. Okay, sure. Kayla, what's your beef and your juice for this week?
Oh, let's see. Okay, I'll start with beef. My beef is, listen, I have a comfy, or I guess the other comfy is like an hoodie. They're like the giant sweatshirts made out of, like, blanket material.
So they're like snuggies, but sweatshirts.
Yeah. It's this. I'm showing Sarah.
It's a sweatshirt. It's pansexual tie-dye.
It is kind of, yeah. But it's a sweatshirt, a giant sweatshirt that, like, goes down to your knees made of fuzzy blanket material. Anyway, I have one and I wear it, like, every day because my house is cold. And also when I wear it, my cats think I'm a big cat. And so then they like to snuggle with me. Like, they get mad if I'm not wearing it. Oh my God. So I wear it, like, every day. And recently my boss keeps telling me, because I keep showing up every morning to our morning meeting in my sweater. And he recently has been like, you need to change your sweater. Your outlook on life is going to be better if you're not wearing the same thing every day. To which I
but
told
I'm
him
comfy.
Exactly. And I told him he wears the same outfit every day because he does. And he was like, yeah, well, I know what it does to my mental outlook, so you shouldn't do it. And I said, this feels a little hypocritical.
Yeah.
So I hope he listens to this, because sometimes he listens.
Maybe he's just saying you should get more of them in, like, different colors.
Ooh! Okay, I'll tell him that he should buy me more, and then maybe my outlook on life will be better.
Perfect.
Excellent response. Today in a meeting, he wasn't there, but I wasn't wearing it. And so then my coworker put in our Slack, she was like, oh, big news, Kayla isn't wearing her sweater. And I was like, shut the fuck up! Tattling on me.
It's like when I was when I was in fourth grade, or I don't know, at some point in middle elementary school, I had this purple sweater. I wore it every day.
I know about the purple sweater.
I wore it every day, and my mom was always like, "You need to wash it." And I was like, "No."
And she didn't think I had autism. Yeah, it's your mother, the professional with kids' needs, was like, "Man, my daughter keeps wearing the same purple sweater
she
the other day.
Must well, really whatever. Like this sweater. She gets upset if she can't wear it.
She doesn't need to be tested for anything. It's fine."
Oh, Julie anyway, was doing her best.
She was doing her best. That was my beef. My juice is, listen, I mentioned this book a couple weeks ago when I hadn't gotten it yet. I just heard about it. But I started reading the book called, I was trying to look at it, but it's kind of long. Okay, it's called Don't Want You Like a Best Friend. It's the one I mentioned that's like Parent Trap ex Bridgerton, but gay. And I started reading it yesterday, and I read, like, maybe a fourth of it. And then I read it earlier today, and I got through, like, now I'm, like, three-fourths of the way through. And so I haven't finished it yet, so I guess it could get bad, and then I'm recommending a book that maybe has a terrible ending. But I don't think it'll happen. Because so far, it's very good, and it's so gay, and I definitely cried a lot. And it is a little, there is a small bit of smut. So far, three-fourths of the way through, there's only one smut. So if you don't like a smut, then... I guess.
How smut? What level of smut?
It's definitely not the smuttiest smut I've read.
Okay.
It's like, it's not fade to black.
Yeah.
But it's also not like.
Is it like a good M? A solid M? Higher than an M?
I don't know.
But not crazy?
It's like, it's not like, whoa, but it's also like, they tell you what's. Okay. Where things are going. That's okay. A good way to put it. They tell you when things are going places.
Okay. No, so. That's helpful.
So anyway, helpful there's only context. Been one so far. If there's not another one, I'm actually going to be kind of disappointed because one of the like blurbs on the front was like, ooh, spice. So I was like, where spice? Is it? There's only been one so far. So like, I will be disappointed if there's not more. Anyway. All false this advertising. To say. False, I like smut. Sorry. All this to say, it's very good so far, and it's my juice. And I very bravely stopped reading it to watch the new episode of Sarah's television show, and then I didn't start reading it again after, because I knew if I did, I would just be trying to speed towards finishing it, and then I wouldn't get the full experience. And then if I did finish it, I'd be in a weird headspace for the podcast, because if I finish a book I really like, then I have to sit and think about it in silence for a little bit. So, anyway.
Bogey, can you stop screaming?
He can't. He has a lot of feelings about my book.
Can you hear him?
No.
Oh, it's loud. Hold on.
So anyway, Sarah's leaving. So anyway, she's dealing with the cat. After we record this, will be finishing the book. I don't care how late I stay up. I need to know what happens to these lesbians and their parents. Also, you know, Parent Trap of it all. Anyway, what are y'all reading? Anything good? I also ordered, she's gone, so you know. I also ordered the book Most Ardently, which is a trans retelling of Pride and Prejudice. Haven't started it yet. Hasn't arrived at my house, but I'll check back in on that one.
I think my roommate left for some reason.
Oh, bye.
Oh, I guess it's only 8:40. It's not like it's really late.
It's the middle of the night.
It's just dark.
How dare she?
But I was like, usually he doesn't yell like that when she's here. And I was like, yeah. Did she leave?
Maybe yeah, she's not.
Yeah, she did. Anyway. Did you do both your juice and your beef?
Yes, I'm done now.
Great. I'll find out later.
You may proceed. Yeah. You'll hear it.
My juice is I got a really nice text from one of my BTS friends who just read our book.
I saw it.
Yeah, I sent it to Kayla, and it was just a really nice text.
It was so sweet.
And my friend is the bestest, and she's the most kindest, sweetest, nicest person in the world.
Yes.
Full stop. My other juice is that, oh my God, I got an email today. From my homeowners association.
Okay.
Starting on AP Fools.
AP Fools? This, are you sure? Or is it an AP Fools joke?
It would be real early if they're starting
it now. That
would
be like, yeah, a long con.
The state of California is requiring residences to collect food and yard waste, which means
compost.
I no longer have to waffle about splurging on a composter because I will have a place to put... I will have to get, like, a compost bin for my apartment.
Can't you ask the city for one?
I mean, we will have one for our building.
Oh, I see.
I mean, yes. Like, in my apartment. Mm-hmm, 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 So I don't just have, like, loose eggshells on the floor.
I think you still might be able to request that because we have a larger compost bin that's outside of our houses. Mm-hmm. But then my roommate also got one from the city for in the house.
I mean, I'm also just going to look on because, like, I don't – I also
fine.
Want – I don't want a shitty one that's going to make it smelly.
No, actually, you shouldn't get a shitty one because ours was shitty and it started leaking. So that's fine, I guess. Whatever.
Okay. Anyway, I'm just excited about composting.
I'm so happy for it.
My beef is car-centric urban planning. just one lane? One more lane? Not going to solve it. Not going to solve it. Those who are on Lane Man TikTok get it.
Okay.
You know, lane man. Just I don't. One more lane. also the TikTok of the cat who likes to eat red dye, and I've sent you this cat before.
Okay.
It's just the cat that's like it's not even a specific cat. It's just like a child voice where mm-hmm. it's like I love eating rocks. Rocks are so good for you. They give you so many vitamins and minerals. Like that's the vibe mm-hmm. of all of the videos. And some mm-hmm. of them are, in fact, about car-centric urban planning.
Oh, good. I love that.
So, anyway, hashtag lane man. Yeah. Great. You can tell us about your beef or your juice or gravy. And, yeah. I was going to say, my beef is that it's been raining in LA. But, like, is that really beef? It's been fine.
It's beef for the people driving.
Yeah, I mean it did make my drive home a lot worse today. Also, like it's been this morning. It was sunny, but then by the time I was driving home, it was raining pretty good again. But like prior to that, it had been raining for like 48 hours straight, and not like drizzling for 40, like raining for 48 hours straight. And I heard at some point that like within 24 hours we got like over 6 inches, which I know to a lot of you is like okay.
LA, that's a lot.
But that's sometimes more than LA gets in a year.
Yeah. It probably, so like, I bet the LA River had a small trickle.
Ooh, I saw a video of like a section of the LA River that was like almost overflowing because the LA River.
Wow.
For those in the know, the LA River is just surrounded by concrete on all sides.
And it's usually empty.
And it's usually pretty much empty.
The river doesn't exist.
Yes, but it was, like, going above the concrete walls and, like, maybe onto a bridge a little bit.
Big day for the LA River.
Big day for the LA River. And there was, like, a literal state of emergency because our infrastructure is not designed to support. Yeah. And there was a lot of, like, road flooding and stuff.
Yes.
So, like, I could say that's my beef, but I don't know. I'm not that bothered by it. You know what my beef is? I went to the gym yesterday, and I had my umbrella because it was raining. Yeah. And they had a little box that was like, please put your umbrellas here.
Oh, no.
So that you don't drip your umbrellas all through the place. And I did, because I am a good Samaritan. I am a good neighbor. Like a good neighbor, Sarah is there. And the problem was that I spent the entire time at the gym anxious that someone was going to steal my umbrella.
See, I was worried you were about to say that someone stole your umbrella.
I literally did a new machine that I had never done before because it was closer to the umbrellas.
Ma'am, umbrellas are like $5.
Yeah, but I like the feeling of the handle on mine. I'm neurodivergent.
I have no comment on what you've just said.
Social media at SoundsFakePod. We also have Patreon, patreon.com/SoundsFakePod if you'd like to support us there. And in case someone does steal my umbrella, I can use that money.
She'll need funding
to get a new umbrella with an appropriately textured handle.
Julie, if you're listening, I feel like you dropped the ball.
Don't make Julie feel bad.
It's okay, Julie.
Our $5 patrons who we're promoting this week are Layla, Lily, Mary S., Mel McMeans, and Melissa. Our $10 patrons who are promoting something this week are Derek and Carissa. Oh, did Derek email
not a us? Yeah, but not about a new thing. It was not like an episode idea. It was an episode idea.
Slay. Thanks, Derek. I didn't read the email, but I saw that you emailed.
Sarah.
Kayla read the email, obviously.
I did. I haven't responded.
Sorry.
Ooh, I'm so bad at the email.
Derek and Carissa would like to promote supporting each other through the transitions we face, including the transition between not having read the email to having read the email to having to answered responding the email.
It's a long... You would know if you've emailed us, because you'll get an email like 3 months later from me being like, so sorry.
Hey.
I start almost every email response these days with, so sorry. It's been 5 months.
At the beginning of this podcasting session, Kayla was like, oh, there's an email for you. And I was like, is it the one you sent me the other day? And she was like, no. And I was like, there are two emails for me.
And the one, it was from January. And I just kept forgetting to tell Sarah to look at the email.
She was like, so silly.
I don't know. Maybe anyway, if Sarah would check the email, it'd be fine. But whatever.
Well, I see that we get emails.
Uh-huh.
Like, I get notifications.
That makes it worse, maybe.
But unless I can obviously see it's definitely for me.
Mm. Okay, so if you ever want to reach Sarah in our email, you need to put in the subject line.
This is Sarah.
Sarah, read this.
Sarah, read this.
Ensure that she reads it.
And then there's a 90% chance I'll read it.
Maybe.
Without Kayla's help.
Yeah. Anyway.
L. Bitter, who would like to promote the normalizing the use of tone indicators /sirs. Aunt Maya Genie, who would like to promote Christopher's Haven. Kayla's dad, who would like to promote JennyCreations.com. And Math, who would like to promote Don't Shit Sweatshirt. Our other $10 patrons are Martin, Giselle, Parker, Purple Haze, Barefoot Backpacker, Song of Storm, Val, Allison, Ani, Arkness, Benjamin Abar, Selena Dobson, and David Harris. Our $15 patrons are Ace, who would like to promote the writer Crystal Scherer. Nailed that.
Very good.
Andrew Hillam, who would like to promote the Invisible Spectrum podcast. Thea Chappelle, who would like to promote twitch.tv/melodythea. Hector Murillo, who would like to promote friends that are supportive, constructive, and help you grow as a better person. Like when they say, hey, there's an email for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, they're like, hey, did you read that email?
Hey.
And then they're like, hey, did you answer the email? And then right before you record, you're like, wait, don't talk to me. I'm answering the email.
I have to answer the email, yeah.
Nathaniel White, who would like to promote NathanielJWhiteDesigns.com. Kayla's Aunt Nina, who would like to promote KateMaggotArt.com. And we have a new one. It is Schnell.
Schnell,
let me know what you want to promote for
now. I thought
now.
They messaged.
Did they?
This was an email. That wasn't
I don't read our email.
Not minutes ago. It was in the same section as where you found that they had become a patron, right above it.
Oh,
they
wow.
would like to promote Schnell accepting that everyone is different, and that's awesome. It was literally right above the other email you saw.
I was going to say, in my defense, Kayla's organization of our email.
Oh, no, but you can't because it was right. But it was
but
right
on that
there.
One, I have no ground to stand on.
Yeah, no. And I thought, because you were like, oh, Schnell, fast. And I thought you meant fast as in like, oh, they emailed us right away. That's so nice. But
no,
you were saying Schnell because it means fast in German.
Schnell means fast in German.
And I thought you were saying both, but clearly, anyway.
Anyway, well, Schnell, with 3 L's, by the way, would like to promote accepting that everyone is different, and that's awesome. And they would also like to promote being fast. Our $20 patrons are Dragonfly and my mom. And they together would like to promote my purple sweater.
R.I.P.
It's my author photo.
Oh, from.
I'm wearing it in my childhood author photo.
Did we ever post that, the author photo?
Yes, it was at the end of our Instagram carousel, I recall.
The end of our Instagram carousel.
At some point. I was stalking us recently, and I encountered it.
Great. Well, go scroll around and find it.
Scroll around, see if you can find it.
I'm going to buy you an exact replica, but in your size now.
I don't, I wouldn't, it's, My style has evolved.
Yes, as we've seen recently on your Instagram stories, your style has evolved.
It had a fuzzy hood.
Okay.
And that was part of the reason why my mom was like, we need to wash it. Because, like, yeah. The hood would, you know, we live in Michigan. It's pretty shit in that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she made me not wear it in my school picture.
That seems rude. If you're wearing it every day, like,
Mom, it's who I am.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if I were a mom and I'm looking back at my kids' school pictures and I'm like, oh, man, that was the year of the purple sweater. I, like, kind of want the purple sweater.
But she wanted me to look nice.
Seems like it was a nice purple sweater.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next Sunday for more of us in your ears.
And until then, take good care of your purple sweaters.
Put the purple sweaters on the cow.
Lovely.
It wouldn't have fit a cow, but you can try.
You could get a cow size.
Like a little cow.
Sure.
Okay, bye.